Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us on Code Chat. I'm Jeremy Foster. You can find me online at codefoster.com. And I have invited back a guest that you saw recently named Mark McAllis. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Good to be back, Jeremy.
Thanks. Hey, we're going to talk today about a program that you're involved in and that I just think that the public developers, developers in the wild, might be interested in, and that is Microsoft's MVP program.
Wow.
So okay. You may or may not know about Microsoft's MVP program. There are MVPs and RDs, and it's a program that we've been running for a while, and you've actually been involved in it for a while, right?
Yeah, I started as an MVP in 1996, so that's going on 20 years here. I know of one other MVP that's longer than that, but that's probably the only one that I'm aware of. So.
And you told me earlier that when you started, you were working with
CompuServe. Yes, so
CompuServe.
I became. This is a little bit embarrassing. I'm not sure I want this. Maybe we can not have it on camera. But,
okay.
But I actually became an MVP because I was wrestling with SourceSafe, and so I was hanging out in the CompuServe forums trying to get SourceSafe to work, and SourceSafe was just an animal. So as I did that, and I asked lots of questions on the CompuServe forums, I proceeded to be able to answer questions, not just ask questions. And so I did that for a while. And then one day I got this email from Microsoft and said, hey, we've been noticing you've been doing a bunch of stuff and answering questions on CompuServe, and we'd like to invite you to be part of the MVP program.
And wow.
That's how I got started. So that was literally on CompuServe. I've heard there was some stuff going on with AOL as well. I don't know anything about that, but I believe that it started sort of when the forums on CompuServe is where the MVP program
started. Now, do you remember your CompuServe number?
I'm very proud to say no, I do not.
You said at some point.
Yeah, there's some things that I've got a limited amount of space up there, and that one I can do without.
Didn't they have a comma in them?
Yes, they did. Two different numbers, exactly.
Why would you have two numbers with a comma?
I don't know. It
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That was kind of before email.
No, email was around.
There
at
was
that
still,
time.
Yeah, it there was niche there was though. Email. I'm not everybody had an email account.
I mean, the internet was just starting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, CompuServe had the CDs that you put in. They even had floppies. I remember having CompuServe floppies.
I was more an AOL person.
Yeah.
Well, I did have a CompuServe username,
such a good, AOL was not as good reputation. As,
right. So. Oh man, the memories.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the MVP program? What does it stand for? Why do we have that?
So MVP is actually Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, and Microsoft Valuable Professional. The program started really, it was under the part of Microsoft for support, and their goal was to generate the community to help provide support. The thinking was that the guys that are most expert at these technologies, their Microsoft technologies, are the ones writing the product, and they really don't have the time to go do support for the product, as is true in any industry.
Sure.
Or any you don't really want your core engineers being the support people once you're at a reasonable size. And so they obviously had a support team. You could call out Microsoft support and you could get help. But the Microsoft support people were always giving support. And the people that really knew the depth were the users, right? The people in the community that were using this product every single day for the vast majority of their job. And these people actually probably knew more than many of the Microsoft support people. And because of that, Microsoft said, hey, let's go ahead and sort of build a community of people that are experts in these technologies. So you could literally find a Microsoft Excel MVP, and the Microsoft Excel MVP knew all about Excel. And they had different specializations. They may specialize in the VBA part of Excel, or maybe they specialized in working with very large spreadsheets. They may specialize in formulas within Excel, how to go ahead and do pivot tables or those kinds of things. And the engineer, I mean, these folks who are working with Excel every day were essentially providing and helping Microsoft do support, and Microsoft said, hey, we should encourage this. This is great.
Yeah, right.
It's good for Microsoft, and let's go ahead and give these engineers some publicity in a sense. It allowed us to develop a name for ourselves, that this is a Microsoft recognized expert in this field, and they said, let's go do that. So we do get some actual software and stuff as part of being an MVP. That's been very critical for me as I look when I started out. I mean, 93 was when I sort of started my career as an engineer, and this sort of getting all of Microsoft software, the fact that I could at that point get all of Microsoft software, I mean, that when I started, I only knew SourceSafe, but now I could actually install the OS, and I could go ahead and build on top of the, I got a copy of Visual Studio that I never thought I was going to get into, I guess, or whatever the deal was, I could get into the details of that. So it was a great program for me in my career because it gave me access to everything that Microsoft had, even though I wasn't getting it from
And there's a bit of credential to it, right? You get some digits. It's kind of like it's probably on par with putting Mark McAllis PhD, right?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I'm sure, no doubt. Just different letters. Other than that, it's the same thing. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true. Obviously, how significant it is depends on your audience. If the audience knows nothing about MVP, then MVP doesn't matter at all.
Right.
If the audience knows something and they realize the intellect and the expertise of these individuals, then it gives you a lot of credence. So you'll find that people who know other MVPs will hire other MVPs because they just know they're getting high caliber people.
Right.
Whereas if you don't know anything about it, it's not really an advantage in any way. I can go to customers that have never heard of MVP and MVP is insignificant.
Yeah.
I can go to customers that have heard of MVP because they've interacted with MVPs. And so what the MVP community has done is they've built a name. They've sort of said, these guys are the top notch. They really know. I'm the obvious exception, but most people really know stuff about the MVPs and what they're doing. So that was where it started.
It seems to me, too, like a company is not just taking advantage of the people that are out there that have the experience on the product, but they're also taking advantage of the enthusiasm. I mean, I know that even as a Microsoft employee, there are a lot of non-Microsoft products that I just love.
Yes.
And it's a little bit irrational. I love the way the software is made.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be a big voice for them because everywhere I go, I'm just going to say, this is tremendous software.
Well, naturally, as you get into something, you start to get good at it. You also become an advocate. You become excited about it. It's hard to, currently I'm a C-sharp. So I think I started in the Windows SDK. I was a Windows SDK MVP is where I started. Then I went to SourceSafe. Then I went to Visual Studio ALM. I believe right now I'm a C-sharp MVP because of my writing and my books. But at the end of the day, I love that technology. And so part of they dovetail well, right? There's sort of a synergy that's created because my excitement sort of helps me with my MVP status.
Yep.
My MVP status is something that gets boosted or boosts my career as well because there's a name in that too. So, and I want to be clear, right? For those of people who are sort of thinking about the MVP and becoming MVPs, don't do it to become an MVP. There has to be intrinsic value in what you're doing regardless of the program. So, if you're going to become an MVP, today it's sort of switched. It's not based on support so much as it is talking about the products and building community. But if you're going to do that because there is inherent value in building a community. Don't do it to become an MVP. An MVP should be a byproduct of that, not the other way around.
Gotcha.
Because it's enough work and you have to put enough effort in that if you just do it for the purpose of becoming an MVP, it's going to be hard to do and it's not going to be nearly as valuable.
You're not going to be working out of the right energy probably too.
And there's somewhat of a black magic or black art to becoming an MVP. It's not like you do these six things and then you're an MVP.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to invest all that time and then not figure out the black magic. And obviously there's as much as possible a quantitative process that Microsoft's going through to investigate and choose who the MVPs. It's not like it's arbitrary, but it's not a well-published formula that you do these 10 things. It's not like becoming a Microsoft certified engineer or something
right.
like that.
Take this class and get this score.
It's not like that at all. So do it because of the inherent value of what you're doing, not for the MVP status.
Now, one of the big components of either getting a position as an MVP or just being an MVP is the contributions that you make. Can you speak to what kinds of contributions, what is it that you have to produce or generate as an MVP?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly changing. I already said, initially, literally, this is somewhat embarrassing. I mean, I would spend probably an hour a day. I mean, that sounds crazy, the amount of time you could spend where just providing support. And it was a very much a learning experience for me. I was in there anyway, so I just started to answer questions. So that's initially how it happened, and that's been true up until sort of the last year or so, where a lot of it is coming out of the forums and providing support. That's one component. That's sort of moving. It's not so relevant as much anymore. It's now moving towards, hey, Microsoft's obviously got a big push towards open source. So what kinds of open source contributions are you using? They're thinking about whether you're doing contributions to ASP.NET or your own frameworks. And so there's a big component that says, hey, what are you doing in the open source space that's building following and generating activities around that? There's also the sense of building community. So what are you doing in terms of supporting user groups? What are you doing in terms of supporting developers getting together and learning and creating energy and enjoying being around each other? So it could be through user groups, it could be through dev camps, those kinds of things I think are part of contributions. There could be through publications, so whether that's through your blog. I've written quite a few books, so I know that that's significant. I've got a column on MSDN Magazine that will contribute. So those kinds of things are also what the MVP leads are sort of looking for to find out what matters. Ultimately, you know, there's a Microsoft. Microsoft is getting something out of this. They're putting thousands of dollars into the program, and so they're clearly getting something out of it too. It's not sort of this altruistic Microsoft just decided to give away free Frost software.
Yeah, right.
But you get something out of it too. And I think for me, you know, initially the value was having access to all this Microsoft software that I could just go install in my house and get into and learn, and that was huge. Today we get that through MSDN, through our careers and stuff like that. And now it's more around, hey, there is a name for it in being an MVP, but also the fact that it gives me the opportunity to speak. It gives me a platform to speak that I maybe wouldn't have otherwise. And the reality of it is, after you've met an MVP, they're high caliber people, and you sort of, after meeting one, you're like, oh, I know I'm going to get good quality because I need a SharePoint MVP or I need a SharePoint engineer. And you would go give credit to somebody as that kind of status. You'll just know they're great. So
these are the kinds of business deals that I think are good business deals, where we're not just, you know, giving away the farm with blind contributions. We as a company, we as Microsoft. And we're also not just trying to do something that that takes from other people, but this is a real synergistic relationship where you as an MVP hopefully get some real advantages out of this, and hopefully we do too.
I think that's completely fair. And sometimes the balance is not quite right. I remember going through a time where I was literally in the throes of finishing up a book, and I wasn't doing a ton in the community because I was just poured over writing. And you know, for those of you written books, it's a crazy amount of time. and so I probably wasn't as contributing much during that time period.
Yeah.
And there's other time periods where you know, but I was able to keep my status because I was doing enough, I guess, writing and somewhat contributing. And there's other times where sort of, you know, Microsoft has said, hey, we need to go here and fly here and do this. And I'm like, this is going to cost me a significant amount of money. And I've sort of said no. But for the most part, it's a platform. It's a wonderful space for me to do what I love to do. I love to talk about C#. I love to teach people. And so I'm using that MVP status in a way that is also also something I value. And I'm getting something out of it. It's not just me being altruistic to a billion-dollar company, multi-billion-dollar company. I'm getting a significant amount out of it that I continue to do.
Why don't you tell us about your latest C# book? Recently released, right?
Yeah, so I just finished Essential C# 6. I think it came out yesterday. What's the day? Tuesday? Yeah, so it was published or became available yesterday. I got a copy in the mail about a week ago. And so that's just come out. It's obviously, it's the fifth edition of the book. So that means it's continuing to do well, and we obviously updated it with Eric Lippert, who is formerly on the C# compiler team.
Okay.
We updated it to go support the new syntax with C# 6 and the features that are coming in available with that. So
that's tremendous. I've written one, and it really is a lot of work.
Yeah, I would not recommend it to anybody.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot easier when you have one, you just got to edit it. But starting from scratch, it's hard to imagine. It's a full-time job for a year. At the same time, you most likely have another job. It's a crazy amount of work.
I had a son about the same time that I took on a project to write a book, and I definitely wouldn't recommend that. If you're going to write a book, don't time it with a baby.
Literally speaking, my wife was in labor, and I was sitting there editing my comm book, and she's like, it's a race. You finish the book, or the baby comes first. Who's going to win? The baby won. So,
That's neat. Yeah. Well, this really helps us to understand the MVP program, the RD program. I think that it's good for this for us to get this information in front of your developers out in the wild. How or when are they going to meet an MVP? Somebody that lives in, you know, wherever America or wherever, you know, the world, how or when are they going to
Let me clarify one thing. You mentioned the RD program as well, and just make sure that people understand there's a distinction there. So there's two roles that Microsoft has here. One is the Microsoft Regional Director, Microsoft RD program, and the other is the MVP program. And I think the one way to distinguish them is in look at specialization. The MVP program means you probably know a particular technology extremely deep. You understand what the compiler is doing against the C# code in terms of the different IL that's created, right? They understand the technology very, very deep. That's the MVP program. The RD program is much more broad. There's this sort of architect level people that can help you make architecture choices. They, in many cases, they're both. Like my case, I'm an MVP and an RD.
Okay.
And so I have technologies that I know very deep, but I also have the breadth, sort of at the architect level. And the goal is that the RD program is way fewer people. It's about less than 150 around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally positioned to be in specific locations around the world to allow Microsoft to do community events in those regions. Whereas the MVP program is irrespective of where you're living.
Okay.
That's based on what you're doing and the community contributions you're making. So those are sort of distinctions between those.
That's helpful.
RDs tend to be higher end in the career, a lot longer time. You're not going to find an RD that's coming out of school, at least today. And then the MVP program could be. I mean, I've actually met MVPs who are 16 years old. It's not true. You can't do that today. You have to be 18. But I've sort of met those people that can do that. Mm-hmm. So then your next question was,
How are developers going to meet these people in the wild?
Well, part of being an MVP is we do have a name. So I can go to Visual Studio Magazine or 1105 Media, and they'll give me opportunities to speak, and they're looking for us to do that. So frequently, you'll find us at conferences speaking. These are high caliber people, and so this is place you'll encounter them at conferences for sure as speakers. You'll encounter them doing community events, whether it's user groups or dev camps. You'll encounter us in reading, as I say, with the column that I got. I've written several times for MSDN Magazine, and so you'll see my face more there. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, but you're not limited to geographic location. You can frequently encounter them through their blogs or through MeetMe's, things like that are happening online. In many cases now, you'll find user groups actually publishing their material, so they actually have a live stream of what's going on in the .NET meeting or user group meeting. So those kinds of places, they're all
over.
In a sense, they're trying to be. No, they want to be sort of the leaders in their community.
Yeah.
And just out of that desire to be that leader, Microsoft's given them recognition, and so you can encounter them in that space.
Cool. All right.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, thanks, Mark. That was a good conversation about the MVP program at Microsoft. And who knows, you might have some MVPs that are right around you in your meetup or in your area.
There's 4,000 MVPs.
4,000.
4,000 MVPs
so
around the world.
There's a good
around the world. And language specific, so specifically in China or whatever the deal is. So
yeah.
It's a big community.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for joining us this week on Code Chat, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.